And we're joined on the scoop today by Colton Molesky, taking a look at Bowl Mania. Lots of bowl games already finished. We've got the national title game yet to be decided, so lots to talk about here today. Colton, happy new year 2019, starting next week with a big matchup, one that we've seen before between Alabama and Clemson. I hope you've got your fix of bowl games throughout the holiday season and are ready to break them all down here today.
I am, and while I truly believe you can never have too many bowl games, I am always excited to work my way through them every December and January. And a big thanks to you, Seth, for keeping me on for the 2019 year and not just saying after 2018 that this is enough of this crazy kid.
I would never dream of it. So, yeah, glad to have you back. A lot of games to talk about. Why don't we start with the biggest ones? That being the college football playoff semifinals between Oklahoma and Alabama and between Clemson and Notre Dame. We'll start with Clemson and Notre Dame. And this one was close for a while, but Clemson ended up flexing their muscles. They come away with a pretty convincing 30-3 win, really took control of this game in the second quarter. In recapping the action, Colton, what surprised you most about the final outcome between these two?
I was surprised that there was like six other bowl games that ended up being better than Clemson Notre Dame. I actually really thought Notre Dame would be able to do some things against Clemson. And then when the defensive tackle, what was his name? Something Lawrence, I believe it was suspended in this one. And they were able, you'd think that they were able to run with Dexter Williams, Notre Dame's running back, up through the middle and try and get some play action stuff going for Ian Book. Some of that stuff with some key suspensions for Clemson. And they just never got anything going. I mean, it's not that they played sloppy necessarily. There wasn't a ton of turnovers for Notre Dame, but they just never really found success on the ground. Only averaged 2.5 yards per carry in this one against Clemson. Never felt like their offense got into any sort of gear at all. And this one ended up being a total bust for Notre Dame. Clemson worked them throughout this entire matchup and kept them to the 3 points. I was pretty disappointed in Notre Dame. Kind of started out disappointed in Oklahoma as well. You had Alabama jumping out to that big lead 21-0 in the first quarter, and then going into the half up 31-10. Kind of seemed like it was going to be the same sort of story, but you had Kyler Murray and able to get going on both the ground and through the air. He ended with 308 yards through the air and 109 yards on the ground and three combined touchdowns. And so he was really the heart and soul of the Oklahoma offense, played them back into this game. But Alabama's running game was far too much for Oklahoma's defense. You had Jacobs go for 98 yards, Harris go for 48. You had Najee Harris go for 45. And while there's a few guys, nobody ever topped 100. There's a few guys going for them. It was just such a balanced attack from a very diverse backfield that it proved too much of a grind for the Oklahoma defense to stop, and that was really the difference maker for Alabama in this one. But that one ended up being a pretty tight game to finish out the day, and for Oklahoma to finish strong, especially with 14 points in that fourth quarter against Alabama, that was pretty entertaining. But the biggest takeaway, I think, from the playoffs so far has been I guess two big takeaways for me has been Alabama is the same old Alabama. And Notre Dame was pretty disappointed in that one. And when you look back at it, there's probably going to be a lot of people that wish that Georgia had gotten that slot against Clemson.
In looking at the rematch now between Alabama and Clemson really the only team that has ever been able to give Alabama a black eye over the past several years. Can Clemson do it again this year against this Alabama team?
I keep going back and forth on this one. I'm definitely not as confident in Trevor Lawrence at quarterback as I was in Deshaun Watson going up against Alabama. And Tua Tagovailoa looked a lot healthier against Oklahoma than he ever did in against Georgia. And I realize he's probably not 100% still, but he did seem to be able to move around a little better against Oklahoma. And it did look like he had at least one and a half legs under him for that game, as opposed to being the one-legged attempt that he pulled against Georgia. And so if you're going in, Clemson's going in to this one, it's going to be kind of the same strategy they've had all year, which is really knock the quarterback out, take them out of the game. The problem is that Alabama's running attack has been not only so stable and so consistent, but also super diverse. They have three different running backs at least that they can hit you with, and they all have a little bit different gear that they can throw at you. Jacob's the big power back. Damian Harris, the guy who can kind of give you reliability, and Najee Harris, who can pass catch out of the backfield and who's really good on the edge. And I really think that diverse attack with the running game combined with just how efficient Tua is as a quarterback, I think will end up being too much for a really great – I would say Clemson probably is the number one defense in the country right now. But I think that that's too much of an attack for Clemson to handle. That said, that Clemson defense has proven me wrong in the past just with what they're able to do against Alabama offenses.
Looking at some of the other bowl games that we've seen, and there are plenty to jump into, I want to look at the just how the Big Ten in general has done with bowl games to start. And as this is being recorded, the Rose Bowl still has not happened, so there's a chance that Ohio State can help in what has been a largely mediocre bowl stretch for the Big Ten. I mean, the Gophers ended up beating Georgia Tech. Wisconsin handled Miami pretty soundly, but then Purdue got killed by Auburn. Michigan did not show up against Florida. Northwestern beat Utah, and Michigan State fell asleep against Oregon in a 7-6 loss. Are you surprised at the lack of success for the Big Ten overall in bowl games?
Well, I'm surprised by I'm not so sure I'm surprised by the lack of success, more that it's such a big swing, right? I mean, in today, going into the fourth quarter, Kentucky is up 20 points on Penn State. You mentioned that Michigan was shellacked by Florida, 41-15. And then you have what's the other game I was thinking of? Oh, Michigan State, Oregon. I mean, when you're able to hold Oregon to single-digit points, how are you not coming away with a victory? I know I've said a lot of mean things about Michigan State over the season, but when their defense plays that well, how are you only putting up 6 points? And so there's been a lot of weird performances, a lot of blowout games for the Big Ten. I mean, the Auburn-Purdue game was disgusting. Auburn put up 63 points before the fourth quarter on Purdue. That was despicable. And then you swing the other way, and you have Minnesota trouncing Georgia Tech 34-10. Wisconsin just destroying Miami 35-3 in a pretty embarrassing game. I mean, it's strange how it seemed, and then the only really like even-handed game, Iowa versus Mississippi State, and they won 27-22 today. But other than that, they seem to swing either blowout win or blowout victory for the Big Ten. And it's weird to have that disparity. No matter what team you're going with, it's weird to have that massive swing. And teams that you thought were good all year getting blown out, teams that seem to be pretty mediocre, blowing out some teams. I know maybe Georgia Tech isn't exactly a world beater, but to go to a bowl game and lose by 24 points, I think is a big margin when these are supposed to be pretty evenly slated. And Georgia Tech had more wins this season than Minnesota going into the bowl game. So it's been strange, not maybe how many bowl games the Big Ten is losing, but the fact that it's going either a big blowout victory or big blowout win, I'm not sure what to make of that. And if you're banking how you rank the Big Ten as far as conferences heavily by how they're performing in this bowl season, I'm not exactly sure what the takeaway is, because you could go either way on this one. And depending on the games you watch, you either have a bad taste in your mouth or a really good taste in your mouth from the Big Ten performance in the bowl games. I don't know, what's your take on this? Because it really could go either way, especially if we have the Rose Bowl here. If Iowa State wins in blowout fashion against Washington, I'm not sure, because that's pretty even slate blowout versus blowout win versus blowout loss for the Big Ten here.
Yeah, it has been fascinating because you hit it right on the head. It seems like Big Ten teams are either emphatically winning or emphatically losing, and it's very interesting that, you know, there's all this talk of how good the Big Ten is, and then they get to these bowl games. Now, is that because there are a lot of players who are opting not to play in a bowl game? Not at least from what we've heard, there doesn't seem like there have been much. But it's fascinating that, and I think that just goes to show that if you have any teams in the Big Ten that hope to get to the playoff and they don't get there, that they just kind of approach it as, well, the season's done. We'll just kind of walk through this bowl game. And it has been fascinating to see so many just routes. I mean, Michigan getting destroyed. You mentioned the loss by Purdue. Penn State's getting destroyed by Kentucky. Plenty of Big Ten teams getting blown out. But then the Gophers, on the other hand, with another convincing win to finish off their season. So it's been a very, very interesting year for the Big Ten, up and down, and it's certainly not going to quit with how the results have played out here through the bowl games.
Well, I think what this comes down to for me is I think that you're seeing which coaching staffs you can actually respect around the Big Ten. I mean, I know PJ Fleck has taken some hits this year, but they played exceptionally against Georgia Tech, and they got up for the postseason. Same with Wisconsin. Purdue did not get up for the postseason. Michigan State did not get up for bowl season. Northwestern, 28 points in that third quarter. I mean, that's a really impressive victory over a good Utah team that played really well this season against ranked opponents. And, I mean, all of these teams, Michigan, they did not get up for bowl season, and maybe there's some disappointment about not playing in the Big Ten championship or not being able to play in postseason action. I mean, excuse me, not being able to play in playoff action, to be specific. But there's certain coaching staffs that really motivated their teams, and I think when you're looking at the Big Ten, maybe those are the teams you look out for next season, because those are the teams that are going to be able to pull some really good recruits and be really sneaky good next year, because they're able to keep their teams in it, versus some teams just came out lackluster, and that maybe says a little more about their coaching staff than their fan base is willing to admit.
So Gophers to the Rose Bowl next year confirmed?
I think so. Let's write it in right now.
Looking at the rest of the bowl games, Colton, which have been some of your favorites to take in?
Are you talking about the rest of the games to go forward, or just the ones that I've watched?
The ones that we've seen so far. Which have been some of the most exciting that you've had a chance to watch?
I'm not going to lie to you. Baylor-Vanderbilt was a really good back-and-forth game, and that was a lot of fun to watch. Baylor's athletes, you can say whatever you want about Big 12 defenses, but their wide receiver and running back collection has always been really fun to watch. Even if you go back to years with like Pettis at quarterback and Katie Cannon at wide receiver, and watching this year and against Vanderbilt was no different. Iowa State, Washington State, really fun 2-point game. That was a really tight game down to the wire, and a thriller as far as bowl games are concerned. 34-10 Minnesota, Georgia Tech. I gotta love the Gophers getting a bowl win, and watching PJ Fleck end the year on a good note. And then today, some really good bowl games. I've loved LSU and Kentucky all season long, both gambling wise and just watching both of these teams play. And so watching them be successful and to end out the season and in bowl season has been a lot of fun. And then looking forward, I'm really excited for the Rose Bowl. I always enjoy the Rose Bowl a little more than the other ones, just has a really great history, and just my tie to the Big Ten has made one of the more entertaining bowls for me. And so Washington versus Ohio State, I'm looking forward to that one immensely. And Texas-Georgia should be a really good bowl as well. But of the bowl games, some of the underrated ones, like the Vanderbilt, Baylor, and the Washington State, Iowa State, I think really stuck out to me.
Which have been disappointments? I mean, you can talk about, for the most part, both semifinal games, with the exception of the first quarter between Clemson and Notre Dame, and then the end of the game where Oklahoma made a run against Alabama. Other than that, those games were pretty lopsided. Any other bowl games that you were excited about but just flat out didn't live up to the hype?
Yeah, I don't want to hammer away at Notre Dame any more than I already have, but some other ones that I thought were disappointing: Oregon versus Michigan State. I mean, what a travesty of a bowl game.
Yeah.
The fact that Oregon wasn't able to find anything against Michigan State. I know they've had a pretty solid running defense this year, but weren't able to find anything through the air. And the fact that Michigan State wasn't able to capitalize and score on Oregon to the lowest score that they've had in like 10 years is pretty pathetic. Another one that really disappointed me, though, too, that was it was some time ago, but I still am not over, TCU versus Cal. The fact that these two teams, I know they had injuries, but 10-7 after an overtime, and the fact that they also set a bowl record for interceptions with 5, pretty rough stuff and pretty hard game to watch. It was a disaster, and I was actually looking forward to this game because Cal has been sneaky good in the Pac-12, and TCU has been maybe not great, but they've been entertaining against good teams. They had a solid outing against Ohio State, even though they lost that one. They've had some good games against good opponents this year in their conference play in the Big 12, and so I thought that they could put on a pretty good bowl show even with the injuries, but weren't able to do it. 10-7 there. Those were some disappointing games. And then the last one, Houston versus Army. Houston let up 70 points against Army. They lost 70-14. And again, I know that they didn't have their star quarterback in, and I know that, like you were mentioning earlier, some guys are just preferring to sit out these bowl games as opposed to playing. But this was an offense that was really fun, really electric in Houston, and I thought it would be fun to see a pass-happy offense that can score a ton of points fast go against a run-happy offense in Army and a front seven that was going to try and stop the running attack, and so you would have to go really pass-happy, and they ended up just putting up a big dud as far as a bowl game. So that was a little disappointing for me as well, and I'm sure not really many people are watching Army-Houston, but these are the things that I get upset about, and that's why I'm probably going to just be alone ranting about sports the rest of my life.
Colton, I'm glad you brought up the point about athletes sitting out of bowl games, because I did want to ask you about that topic. It does make waves at about this time in leading up to bowl games when various players announced that they're sitting out to get up ready for the NFL draft, things along that line. And so it riles people up because the notion of, well, it's another game on the schedule, so they should play. I really can't get riled up about it. I can understand the reason that players don't play in these bowl games, and I can understand the sentiment that maybe they should. Where do you sit on that issue?
Well, here's where the people who want to pay college football players really come in strong, because I've heard a lot of people say, well, if you pay college football players, then you could give them bonuses if they win a bowl game, which would give them more incentive to play in the bowl games, which would make the bowl games better. First of all, I'm not in the field where I think you should play college football players anyways, but I think if you want to make the bowl games more important, I think that a fun wrinkle would be the winning team on all the bowl games gets to recruit out of state, and the losers have to stay in state for recruiting. And so that's a way where if you're a coach, you could come to these players and say, look, we know that you're not going to be here next year, but if you care about this school, if you care about this program and the campus and the history and the legacy of what you're doing, you win this bowl game, we're able to recruit out of state, we're able to stay good, we're able to stay relevant, and then when you come back here, you're not only the guy who played really well for your school, you're the guy who kept us good because we were able to keep that out-of-state recruiting. I know that there may be some speculation. I was talking to some friends about this, and they said, well, wouldn't that make it lopsided? But if you're going up and down, really you only need 6 wins to get into a bowl game. And so you can be a guy like a team like Appalachian State, or you can be Alabama, and you can still be playing for that out-of-state right to recruit. And so that would be like a fun wrinkle during bowl season. And then it would be really fun too going into next year if you had like a team like Michigan State or Michigan who can't recruit out-of-state, and now they're in this hole, whereas you have teams like the Gophers who can recruit. Maybe that's a way to balance out the conferences and keep them from being top heavy like they are right now. Oh. So I think that would be a fun wrinkle to really add some heavy emphasis to the bowl games and keep these guys. I think that would be a legitimate way to keep these guys in some games, because you say, oh, well, why would they care about that? I think that there is a way to sell to these guys, hey, your legacy is going to be that much stronger because you kept us relevant even after you were gone, because you gave us our out-of-state recruiting for another year.
Interesting. That there might be some traction to that theory. Just anything that they can do to convince players to stick in these bowl games, I think would be a great thing. But at the same time, like I said, I can totally understand athletes not wanting to, because if you tear your ACL in a bowl game, well, then you're SOL on the NFL draft, and that can hurt you in the long term. So at the end of the day, it is their choice. And until college football does something about it, then there's going to continue to be more of this. And that gives radio talking heads like myself something to gripe about. Although, as I said, I don't really get too bent out of shape about it. So just an interesting wrinkle to add to the equation.
If you're TCU Cal and you're TCU and you beat Cal in a bowl game, not only is Cal not able to recruit out of state, but maybe you go to California and you go to some of the areas where you're recruiting and you say, hey, we beat them, now you can come to Texas and play for us, because you don't want to go to a school that's going to lose in a bowl game again, do you? You don't want to go to a school where you're not going to have the same opportunities because they can't get elite players from out of state, where you're going to be on a better team because of this fact. I don't know. I think that would make bowl season more interesting. I think it would make the recruiting track more interesting by seeing, oh, these teams are out of the running for certain players, even though we thought they would be, because now the restriction is in place after January 1st. But that's just me.
No, I like that idea. We'll have to see. You may have to put that on paper and send it in to the NCAA headquarters, see if they do anything with it, because I think it's a good idea. So we'll see if anything changes there. While we're at it, before we let you go, since the Rose Bowl hasn't officially happened yet, now is a perfect time for you to get a prediction down, so that if it's right, I can give you credit for it before it happened. If it's wrong, then I can rip you for it for the rest of the year. So what do you think is going to happen between Washington and Ohio State?
I actually really like Washington in this one. If you look at Ohio State and the teams they struggle with this year, you look at teams like Purdue, teams like Minnesota, teams who really ran the ball just up the gut against them well, and teams that were able to do some things off that running game, but essentially made their entire offense about running the ball up the gut well, and then off that running game through between the tackles played ran the ball on the outside really well and attacked them a bunch of ways that way. I think that Washington is one of those teams. You have Myles Gaskin in here. He can run really well both between the tackles and outside. I think that he's going to give their defense a lot of looks, a defensive line that's had their injury problems all season long. He's going to give them a lot of trouble. And then off of that, Jake Browning off of play action, it has been really good. And he's been really good in the red zone. So you look at teams like Minnesota. They were good running the ball against Ohio State, but then turned it over a ton in the red zone. Jake Browning and Washington have been really good in the red zone scoring, taking advantage of those scoring opportunities. And so I really like them in this game. and they're getting favored by like 6 points. I know you can grab them by as many as 7 points in some spots, but they're getting the plus six. If you're gambling and taking the spread, I would highly recommend taking the plus six, plus six and a half, even seven where you can find it. And I like Washington in this game. I think that they are going to be a sneaky team to really give Ohio State problems. And two, you have all the stuff, Urban Meyer going into retirement, kind of some funky stuff around the coaching in this game. I just think it's set up to be a surprise win for Washington.
Okay. Let's get the national title prediction as well, since that will happen on Monday, and we'll talk next week on Tuesday. Give me your national title prediction, Alabama-Clemson. Who ends up as national champion?
I'm going, just because of the defensive prowess for both these teams, I'm going a little more low scoring. I'm going 27-20. Alabama takes the title again. More just because I feel stupid every time I bet Alabama than anything against Alabama than anything else. And so I try to avoid feeling stupid as much as possible because it usually happens to me on accident anyways. So I'm going with Alabama 27-20 in a low scoring defensive grind game where both quarterbacks end up getting injured because of how vicious these defensive fronts are and how nasty the front sevens for both of these teams are. And so low scoring game, Alabama ends up winning again. And this is just more of a safe face because at one point I was actually talking myself into Oklahoma winning that game against Alabama. And so, yeah, don't want to forget about that quick.
Colton, you're the best. Enjoy the rest of the bowl games, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Seth. Always a pleasure to come on the show. Make sure you're checking out the SB Nation content on college football, getting you prepared for the last remaining bowl games. And then we're going to shoot you right into the recruiting season. So much to watch and cover as far as which high school studs are going where, and SB Nation is going to have you prepared for all of that good content.